College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Notre Dame head coach Mike Bray. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on Stitcher. You can find us there right now. And I want to let you know today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being sponsored by Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. And now that we've got you set with all your Geico needs, some massive news on Monday morning. Cade Cunningham, the number one recruit in college basketball, publicly announced that he will be staying at Oklahoma State next season despite the Cowboys being hit with a postseason ban. An interesting scenario on a number of levels. Cade Cunningham could have reopened his recruitment, went to another college school, could have went and played professionally in the G League, but he opted to remain committed to Mike Boynton, the head coach. Obviously, his brother Cannon Cunningham is on staff as well. But to me, in talking to Mike Boynton and talking to people close to the situation, this is only going to enhance Oklahoma State's efforts in appealing the NCAA's decision, which a lot of people, including myself, was overwhelmingly harsh, slapping this program with a postseason ban, slapping this program with a reduction of 3 scholarship players over the next 3 seasons. But now, from a basketball perspective, even though Oklahoma State, as of right now, is ineligible for the postseason next year, you still see the chemical makeup of a team that has all the makings of one that can be competitive next year in the Big 12. You're going to have one of the best backcourts in the country with Cunningham and Isaac Likely. Matthew Alexander Moncrief should have a major impact as well as a freshman. The Boone brothers, obviously, Keelan and Caleb, are going to play a major role. I don't think this is a necessarily top 5, top half type team in the Big 12, but this is a team that as of right now in my Rothstein 45 is ranked 41st out of the top 45. It's a team that I think would have found a way into the NCAA tournament. This is a team, too, that is going to have dynamic guard play and will still be appointment television, even though the Cowboys, as of now, are not eligible to play in the postseason. Now, Notre Dame, under Mike Bray, has always been a postseason team, except for a few years during his near 2-decade tenure. The Irish were headed for an NIT-caliber year last season. We'll find out what's going on in South Bend and what the prognosis is for 2021 when Mike Bray, the head coach of Notre Dame, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Before we talk to Notre Dame's Mike Bray, I want to tell you about Harry's Razors. How's your hair doing? I know the feeling. Luckily, as a College Hoops fan, I always have a team cap nearby to cover what's happening up top. Problem solved. But what about my facial hair? Even in times of social distancing, I like to keep a clean shave, and thanks to Harry's, I have that covered. The smooth shave I get from my Harry's Razor is next level and keeps me looking my best every morning. If you haven't tried it yet, you really should. Just go to harrys.com/hoops and get a Harry's trial set delivered right to your doorstep. You'll be impressed with their lineup. Their factory has been honing precision blades for over a century, so you get high-quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 each. And get this, to help support those who need it most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. so you can feel good about looking good. Listeners of my show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/hoops. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/hoops to start shaving better today. Now we welcome in the aforementioned Notre Dame head coach, Mike Bray. And coach, I know people are still working, people are still recruiting from their computers and their phones, but when was the last time as a coach that you had so much idle time?
Oh my gosh, I can't remember the last time, John. It's amazing time where you're just trying to keep yourself busy, try to get a routine, Zoom calling with your players, and really trying to keep their heads up, because we've got a group of kids now that are really kind of beaten down and worried, and as they should be. We're all worried, you know, how is college basketball going to play out, and when can we come back? When could we be in a gym together? I said this to my staff the other day. I said, you know, the last month, last 6 weeks, I feel like every morning I wake up, I'm down 20 at halftime. And, you know, it's just, you know, we're all back on our heels. And you're trying to stay busy. Certainly we've all, perfected Zoom recruiting and virtual visits, that type of thing, and watching young men on video and on any streaming. You know, I was watching a group from Fort Wayne, Indiana the other day. But it's concerning. It really is. And really, you know, John, I think we are all rooting for and praying for football to get going somewhat smoothly, because it'll really dictate, you know, what basketball and winter sports does.
Now, one thing you had time to do, obviously, over the last couple of weeks was schedule a game at Howard on Martin Luther King Day in Washington, D.C. How did that evolve?
Well, John, Kenny Blakeney, I recruited to Duke, and he was on my staff at Delaware. And what I've done is when guys that are assistants with me or on my staff, and I did with Inglesby, when they're involved with the job and I'm showing them to the athletic director, one of the things I'll throw in there is, hey, if you hire my guy, we'll do a home and home. We'll come and play there. And certainly for any athletic director at a mid-major, that's pretty powerful. And so, you know, I had talked to Kenny's boss at Howard about that. And this game was scheduled a year ago. We were going to do this. They were scheduled to come to us December 27th this year. Kenny actually was throwing out coming to play on MLK Day in 22. It'd be 22 now. And I said, and quite frankly, I said, Kenny, we're coming. That was part of the agreement I made. But I'm not sure I want to play a game in the midst of the grueling ACC starting January 1 through March 10th on the road against a non-league opponent. But I have an open mind. Let's cross that bridge when we get to it. Well, after watching our country the last 3 weeks and what's happened and what's going on and listening to our players, I called Kenny about 10 days ago now. I said, Kenny, we need to play that game on MLK Day. I think we can do some amazingly powerful things around it. First of all, the education for our young people, our players, and the Howard players, I think is really powerful. What we've done, John, is aligned with a nonprofit that was started by Michelle Obama. Chris Paul was very involved in it, which is called When We All Vote. And starting this week on social media, our players and the Howard players are going to get out and really work on, especially young people, making sure they're registered for our November 3rd election. And, you know, so it's I think that there's a lot of things we can do around this day other than basketball. One of the things I talked to Kenny about, the election's going to end November 3rd. The game is January 21st. Or January 18th, excuse me. MLK Day is the 18th of January. I think we need to turn the next initiative to an outreach to the police to see if we can be some kind of peacemaker, communicator in between the police and the community. And Kenny felt that would be a next good initiative to work on and think about with the D.C. police by the time January 21st comes up. So, you know, a lot of things. And you know what? I told Kenny, I said, Kenny, this is kind of bigger than both of us. Let's just do, we need to be there and do the game And I believe FS1 is going to put it on live. Somebody said Gus Johnson, who's a Howard grad, may do the game. So a lot of good things. John, about 12 years ago, I took my team when we were in town to play Georgetown, when we were in the Big East, to Walter Reed to visit the injured soldiers. And I got an email from every one of the parents of my players when we returned from that game. I don't even remember if we won or lost the game. That didn't mean a damn thing. About the experience and the powerful experience it was for their sons. And it makes me think that this game on MLK Day, in the midst of what's going on in our country, you know, could be really powerful. So, you know, we ended up, you know, scheduling the game, and you know, we'll certainly start with this week with the When We All Vote initiative to make sure, starting with our players, are registered to vote, and they have absentee ballots in South Bend, and maybe that's something college basketball can get behind, and maybe the ACC can get behind.
Now, you mentioned, obviously, all of the issues racially that we have seen in our country over the last couple weeks. What has that dialogue been like within your own team?
You know, we did a Zoom on the Monday after the George Floyd murder. I believe that was on a Saturday or a Friday. I can't remember now. But it was 2 or 3 days after the tragic incident in Minneapolis. And I wasn't quite sure what to get. And to be honest with you, I wasn't quite sure how to monitor it. I was a little uncomfortable. Now, I have an interesting group. You know, I've got six white guys. You know, and so, which I think is really powerful. And I was kind of nervous. I didn't know what they wanted to talk about, what they wanted to express, if it would be anger, and I was ready for all of it. And we got a little bit of everything. And from certainly my black players, but my white players. I think Cormac Ryan, who's getting eligible for us from Stanford, was really powerful in saying, I'm embarrassed. I'm kind of embarrassed. You know, I don't know what to say to my black teammates in the midst of all of this. And you know, and they all kind of expressed themselves. The one thing I wanted to reiterate was, please feel free to express yourself. Heck, 10 years ago, I think I was one of those coaches that shut down Twitter. I was paranoid about it. And we certainly have not done that, you know, the last 7 or 8 years. And you try to get guys to understand they've got to be responsible for what they tweet. But I have read some interesting comments by all my players, you know, and through it. And we want to get them to continue to express themselves on things. But I thought, you know, you can tweet and you can talk. You know, my feeling was scheduling this game and getting behind this initiative when we all go, you know, we got to put our money where our mouth is here a little bit. You know, we can all talk and we can all get enthusiastic about how bad it is and how screwed up it is. But certainly I needed them to understand that the only thing you change something is, first thing is you got to vote. You've got to get out and vote. You know, don't talk a big game and not show up at the polls on November 3rd. And so I just felt, we got to put our money where our mouth is here a little bit and take some steps and some initiatives. So, again, I think it's a great educational opportunity for the 12 guys I have. And I'm their teacher, and I'm trying to make a man out of them. And hopefully this adds to their experience.
Now, I know you spoke, obviously, about the racial complexion of your basketball team. And, you know, I've told people for years, there's three things you don't bring up socially: politics, religion, and at-large resumes to bubble teams during the first 2 weeks in March. But now, obviously, we are approaching Election Day as a major symbol and pinpoint on our calendar. You know, basketball coaches are used to ordering pizza and having their team together for the Super Bowl. In addition to voting, what are you planning on doing during Election Day with your team?
Well, I think this initiative, When We All Vote, the Michelle Obama, Chris Paul initiative that they pushed, we have really got to get behind that, and we have to carry the flag for that. Now, sadly, if it wouldn't be for this damn pandemic, we'd all be on campus and we could get into maybe the community a little bit more and do more in our community. But we're going to have to do it on social media right now with our players and our staff. But I'm hoping when we get back, starting in August and September and through October, we can do some front lines on different communities here in South Bend and be visible. And again, hopefully, you know, the pandemic loosens up a little bit where we can get out and do some more. So that's got to be our initiative. Now, in the midst of it all, you know, when you have team meetings, a lot of times, you know, and guys will air things out. And you've heard of team meetings like that. And we've all had them throughout. I've been coaching a long time. And there's going to be some interesting discussions as a basketball family when we get back in August. And I'm very interested, and I'm hopeful I can manage them and educate. You know, the one thing we got to remember, these guys are still students. They are students. And we are the teachers, and we have a big responsibility to guide and help and clarify in the midst of everything that's going on. So, yeah, I look forward to doing that as much as I look forward to talking about how we attack Syracuse's zone. That's part of what we signed up for, John.
Notre Dame head coach Mike Bray joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, getting back to college basketball right now, you have been a longtime member of the NABC, and there was a major issue that was discussed this offseason. It's been pushed to January, and that's the idea that the NCAA would grant a one-time waiver for transfers to have immediate eligibility once in their college career. Mike, as somebody who was one of the pioneers in taking transfers and sitting them out, why do you think so many student-athletes today in 2020 are so vehemently against the redshirt year?
You know, John, let me first start by thanking you, because you really carried the flag and been a voice for the year in residence, which I experienced as a transfer, as an undergraduate to George Washington University. It sure as hell helped me. And every transfer I've taken at the University of Delaware and here at Notre Dame has done their year in residency, and they're better off for it. Is it this generation? Is it this culture that they cannot wait and they're impatient on getting stronger and getting older for a year as a basketball player? The academic component and grad rates, I mean, please, there's no way I would not have graduated if I didn't have the year in residency. I needed 5 years. Now, there was not the summer school that there is now, which is awesome for guys to get ahead or catch up or whatever they need to do. I wouldn't have graduated in 4 years if I didn't have a year in residency. And I have a feeling, you know, half of the guys I've taken here at Notre Dame, one's on my staff, Ryan Humphrey, who sat out a year after transferring from Oklahoma. You know what it does too? It saves young people from themselves, because everybody has. I'll use Matt Farrell as an example. Matt Farrell, his freshman and sophomore year, John, didn't play much because we had Demetrius Jackson, Jaren Grant, two pretty good guards last time I checked. He just didn't play. And he was disappointed. His family was disappointed. No question they were thinking about transferring. But he came in. Of course, those guys started to graduate ahead of him. And when you're staring at, well, I got to sit out a year or whatever, but those guys, you know, when you're staring at sitting out a year, it almost was a nice deterrent for a kid to say, God, I don't want to sit, and some guys have graduated. Man, I'm going to stay the course. And I'm going to fight through, and I'm going to show everybody that I'm going to be in there, and I'm going to be a starter, and I'm going to even show Coach you should have played me last year. And that's all healthy. Those are all healthy things, and we've kind of lost that. And, John, with this January vote, it just seems like the momentum is for these waivers. I know Matt Painter has done a great job trying to, you know, lead a ad hoc group to put parameters on that. But all I know is I was a year in residence guy, and everybody I've taken, and we're all better off for it. I just don't understand it.
Now, one of the things we've seen in the last 5 to 6 years is more and more players apply for waivers and more players go through the uncertainty that goes along waiting for these waivers. Some get them, some don't. How much do you think the NCAA is just tired of the waiver business and that's why they want to put in a one-time waiver for immediate eligibility?
Yeah, no question about it that the waivers, I think it is disappointing on the part of the NCAA, and I think a little weak, quite frankly, on their part, that their explanation is we have tried to weed through these waivers. Some of them have been presented with false information and lies, and yet we are forced to make a decision on why this young man should be eligible right away. I just think it is a safe political position to back up and make it a blanket, you know, one-time waiver. I just thought we could handle that stronger in Indianapolis, but I definitely think that is the argument that they can't get through the waivers. They feel there's too much false information. There's too much argument or maybe threat of lawsuit when they grant a waiver for one young man and not another. Coaches sound off publicly. They get bad, you know, it's bad press. But I just don't understand why we can't see the big picture. A year in residency is a good thing. Everybody slow down a little bit, grow up a little bit more. But I don't know if we can. Is the genie left the bottle, John? I don't know. I'm worried.
You adopted that mantra, get old, stay old. Would you be more apprehensive to take transfers moving forward if the player wasn't interested in redshirting a season?
I'll give you a great example. Trey Wirtz from Santa Clara, who we're getting. We're very excited. My first conversation with him, he goes in the portal. We call him. We do the video on him. Again, I never get to see him play, and I still haven't even met him face-to-face, which is weird. But my first conversation with him, I said, Trey, I need to ask you one question. Are you looking to get eligible right away, or are you looking to do a year in residency? He said, Coach, I'm really looking to sit out. I need time. I need to get older, the whole bit. I said, well, I appreciate you saying that, because if you wanted the waiver, we wouldn't be interested. I don't have room for you. You know, on my perimeter with the guys, I don't have room for you right now. I think you need a year in residency to get older and get stronger, and for playing time reasons, to kind of let some things, you know, open up for you. So that was really refreshing. You know, I've talked to some other kids in the portal. We all recruited transfers the last couple of months where they said, no, I want the waiver. And we backed off. I said, I mean, the grad transfer is one thing. I get that. The young man has graduated, and that's what we've asked him to do. And there was a push for a year of residency for that. Not going to happen. Fine. I get that. The young man's graduated. But I have just been really nervous about taking kids who want to be eligible right away, you know, in the midst of kind of the rhythm of your roster and you know, the get old, stay old. I've got guys kind of growing up in my program that have kind of paid their dues. I use them in a thorough example. Now all of a sudden I bring a guy in and he's got a waiver and it just doesn't feel right. And I understand everybody has different issues with rosters and you may lose guys and you need bodies. But I, again, Trey Wirtz was, it was no coach. I really need a year. I was like, you know, God bless you, son. Yes, you do. And it's best for all involved. So, you know, we've not entertained an undergrad and pushed the waiver. We've looked at some grad transfers, still haven't gotten one. But with the undergraduate thing, I just think at our program, you know, you just take a year. You know, last time I checked, our curriculum's a little challenging out here. It's a hell of a school, John. You know, you may need a little more time academically out here. You may want a little more time in a Notre Dame academic setting. Last time I checked, pretty good place to spend an extra year at academically. But I don't, you know, John, and again, I appreciate you carrying the flag for us publicly out there. I don't feel there's a lot of momentum for that. You know, it's almost, I think everyone's in the position, look, it's going to happen, could we put parameters on it? Parameters like, you can't leave, you can't get a waiver after your freshman year. All right? You can leave after your freshman year, certainly, but you're going to have to sit out. I'll be darned if after freshman year, you get all hot and bothered because of your role and your playing time, and you just bail out and can play somewhere the next year. I'm in total agreement with that, and I don't know if that'll swing, but I think that's healthy part of it. Is there a date that you have to give in the spring? You know, I think those are all things that are going to be really hashed out in January. Of course, if we didn't have everything that's going on in our country right now, we used to talk about transfers on the front end. They seem to be of less importance right now, and probably rightfully so with what's going on.
Notre Dame head coach Mike Bray joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, you lost John Mooney, a horse inside from last season, and you also lost TJ Gibbs and Rex Pfluger on the perimeter. With those departures, how does Notre Dame return to the NCAA tournament picture in 2021?
Yeah, you know, where we played all our young guys 10 years ago and really took our medicine. I mean, we got beat up all over the place. Finished last in the ACC. Hump and Leshefsky and Goodwin and Carmody, and they were all young. And what I love this year is after being 2-6 in the league, we found our legs. We finished 10-10. We were going to be an NIT team, most likely, if we could have finished this thing, which would have been fabulous for us, John, given what we have coming back. And now those young guys are juniors, you know, and they are really looking like ACC players. After as freshmen, maybe not so much some days. And you add Cormac Ryan. I know we lose Johnny Mooney, which is just a flat-out machine, but I really like our perimeter and our guard play. I think we still, with Hub, Cormac Ryan, Goodwin, getting Carmody healthy, I feel we have really, you know, top-shelf perimeter play. Then you got Leshefsky, who I think is blooming on the front line, and now we need Juwan Durham to really be an every night guy. Now with Mooney out of the way, he's a fifth year senior. He has had flashes, but we really need to be able to ride him. Heck, he's 22, 23 years old. He's a 5-year man. Why can't he be close to a double double guy for us now? I love our group, and I'm frustrated that I have not been able to get him in the gym here in summer school, which we're in now, and we'd be here if not for COVID. But I'm excited, and in a lot of ways, John, it's a 2-year team. I know Juwan Durham, but you know this group is going to play together for 2 years, especially those guards. And so I'm excited about, you know, who we can be, you know, over the next 2 seasons with this nucleus.
Well, you touched on Cormac Ryan. What can Notre Dame fans expect from him after he sat out last year after transferring from Stanford?
A little bit of everything, John. He's a combo guard. He can handle it. He can score it. He can shoot it. He's underrated as an athlete. He gets into the lane and gets up and gets fouled, and he's fearless. There's a toughness about him. Maybe that's a little bit of where he's from in that New York area. But I love the fact that you're injecting an older guy. I lose, you know, Pfluger and Gibbs, but it's not like I'm injecting an 18-year-old right out of high school. You're injecting a guy who's kind of a man. He's been through it. And so I'm excited to see him and Hub play off of each other. We've always played you want to call them point guards, combo, but we've always played that way. Chris Quinn and Chris Thomas, Kyle McElarney and Torrey Jackson. Through time, we've always gotten to that. That's why we've been really good with the ball, and we don't turn it over, and we make good decisions with it. I'm very excited about seeing the Hub-Cormac-Ryan combo play together for 2 years.
Who of your returning players makes the biggest jump next season?
I'm going to put it on three guys, and there are juniors who we threw to the wolves as freshmen, and they got totally picked on by the men in our league. Hub, Goodwin, and Leshefsky. They all really showed signs, I thought, the last 6 weeks of the season where they can be really, really good ACC players. They've been in our system now for 2 years. They know how we play. They know each other. They have a little chip on their shoulder because they got picked on as young guys. And I'm excited about seeing the three of them really blossom as juniors.
Well, you had played in the old Big East and you had played in the ACC, but up until last season, you had never played 20 league games. What was it like for you personally to go from 18 to 20 league games?
Well, that now that you are starting, of course, we started the season with ACC games, and that was, you know, to coincide with the launch of the network, and that's not happening this year, obviously. But we're still going to play games before Christmas. And so, you know, your attention to detail really spikes earlier than usual. And yeah, like I told you, on the 26th, I used to wake up in the Big East and be sick to my stomach because I knew I had 18 league games coming at me from January 1 through. I'm already in it by Christmas. And so 20 is a slog. And, you know, like I mentioned to you, we were 2-6. Now, there's good news and bad news. Is, you know, the bad news is you got to play 20 league games. The good news is with 20 league games, there's more time to find yourself. There's more time to come off the mat. We were dead on the mat. We lose in Tallahassee, we're 2-6. But there's more opportunities. And we ended up 10-10 and you know, made a little surge there. So you do have opportunities. And if you're playing two more league games in a league like the ACC, chances are at least one of them will be a great resume win if you could get it, and maybe both of them. And so, you know, we all need opportunities to present, you know, to the committee. Maybe that will help us over time, you know, get more bids. Now, again, everybody, other Power Fives are going to 20 leagues too, so it's all kind of even now.
Now, the brand of Notre Dame is bigger than any one league. It's that strong in any sport. But for you personally, what's been the biggest difference about being the men's head basketball coach at Notre Dame in the ACC versus being the men's head basketball coach of Notre Dame in the old Big East?
Well, you know, there's things of the old Big East, John, I really miss. You know, there's no question our alumni base from D.C. to New York and playing in the Garden, the Big East footprint, was, and playing those Catholic schools. I do, you know, those were natural kind of rivalries when you were playing the Catholic schools of the Big East. Certainly Boston College is in our league now in the ACC. But we miss that. There's a little bit of, I miss that a little bit. We're going to start a series with Marquette in 22 to kind of recapture some of that, maybe a Villanova and a Georgetown down the road as well. So I miss that. Having said that, I kind of grew up an ACC guy, grew up in Maryland, a Maryland basketball fan when Lex Gisele was the coach. And all I watched was ACC basketball. And certainly my 8 years at Duke with Mike, you know, I know the league and the opportunity to play programs like Duke and North Carolina and Virginia has been very powerful, I think, for our fan base and our players and our recruiting. It's been a change of gears a little bit. We now travel to the Southeast instead of the Northeast from here in South Bend. But I think overall it's been very exciting. And certainly in 15, we were able to win the ACC tournament in our second year, which gave us some credibility in the league. You know, it's a tough league to earn credibility in, and I think we're all trying to scratch and claw for it every year in the ACC.
Notre Dame head coach Mike Bray joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, in the ACC and obviously in the Big East, you played against great brands and blue blood programs. And, you know, you obviously will play against another this year when you play Kentucky at Rupp Arena. As a coach and somebody who's been in basketball his whole life, how exciting is that?
Well, I knew the one thing about it is, and John Calipari and I have talked about this series for a year or two, and the timing got really right in the last couple months. And so we decided to do a 3-year deal. I know our guys are very excited. My second year, we went to Rupp and played, and that's the only time I'd ever been in Rupp, and I was certainly an opponent, and we got our butts slapped around a little bit. And actually, Ryan Humphrey and Harold Sloaning are on my coaching staff were on that team. And so we talked about that a lot. So to play in Rupp Arena, Kentucky basketball, in there, you know, now what I worry about, obviously, I'm not so sure 20,000 people are going to be in that building on December 12th, and we'll do the best we can with it. I love the idea of the game then moving to a neutral site the following season. We'd love to play in the Garden. John Cal and I have talked about the Garden. Hopefully we could pull that off. And then the following year, they'd come to South Bend, which is great for our fans to see Kentucky basketball, you know, up close. They've been here actually a couple times in my tenure, and, you know, it means a lot. So it's a powerful game. It'll be a CBS game, I'm sure, on December 12th, and I just hope by then we can get some crowd in there and some atmosphere.
Well, and the goal, Mike, obviously, whenever we get, you know, on with our season, is to play deep into the NCAA tournament. You've done that a number of times at Notre Dame. Back-to-back Elite Eights in 15 and 16, lost to Kentucky, lost to North Carolina in the Elite Eight. How often does Mike Bray, whether he's going for a walk in Rehoboth Beach or walking around campus in South Bend in autumn, think about how close he was to getting Notre Dame to a Final Four?
Yeah, I mean, those were that was a great run for us, and we, you know, and I think the way I think of it is where we lost a little bit of momentum after that. You know, I feel we're trending back with that momentum, and I my goal always was to get us back to a Final Four. Obviously, the Digger Phelps did a great job getting us there in '78. That was a long time ago, John. It's our only appearance. And we've been close, and we've had good teams, and we've competed with just about everybody. Before it ends for me here, I really would love to get us back to that. And I really think with the nucleus we have, and I've talked about this current team as kind of a two-year nucleus, you know, I think it's our best chance to make a run again at that.
Well, you mentioned the fact that you want to take Notre Dame to a Final Four before you're done, and we both know you're going to coach a lot more games. But how much has this pandemic reiterated how much you don't want to retire?
You know, it's a great point. In a lot of ways, this was like an exhibition game for being retired the last couple months. Now, again, we're Zoom calling and doing all our stuff, but I haven't been on the road. I haven't been in the gym. I haven't been in the usual routine. And I'm too bored. You know, there's not enough to do. And so I know for a fact when we get going again, you know, I'm going to be re-energized. You know, one of the things it probably has done for some coaches is they've gotten some energy back. You know, now I think we've had too much time to get our energy back, quite frankly. But you get on the cycle so much over and this, and we go to this, and then to the next thing. And that has all been shut down. And you know, one of the things I tried to do is just get myself in the best shape I've been in. And I've been good at that because there's no excuses not to have a workout routine and eat better because you're not traveling and you have access, you know, to things. And but you're right. I think we all kind of looked at it like, okay, this is what retirement would be like. Oh, hell no. I'm not ready for that yet.
Well, Mike, appreciate the time. Great stuff as always. Stay safe and, as always, look forward to staying connected along the way.
John, always good to be with you. Keep doing all you do for college hoops, buddy. Take care. Stay safe.
We'd like to thank Notre Dame head coach Mike Bray for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We're the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on Stitcher. You can find us there right now. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Andrew J. Kynes. And it's, John, what chance does Boston College have to make it into any postseason play? Well, Andrew, I think it all comes down to one thing, and it's really been the important thing surrounding Boston College the last couple of years. Health. When you were at a program like Boston College that is a bottom-tier program primarily in the ACC, you need to have good health to have a chance to turn the corner. I will say this. if Boston College can have all hands on deck, I like what I see on that perimeter. Makai Ashton Langford, transfer from Providence. Jay Heath, Jamar Langford, top 75 recruit. And don't forget about Winston Tabbs, missed all of last season with a knee injury. Health has to happen for BC to bounce back and be somewhat of a factor in the middle of that ACC. Our next question comes from Luke Bishop. And Sean, what are your predictions for Indiana's season? I expect Indiana to be a top 25 team the entire year and to be an NCAA tournament team. Great inside-outside combination now. You have Christian Lander. You have Trace Jackson-Davis. And I also think Rob Phinisee will continue to emerge as one of the top intangible players in all of college basketball. Our next question comes from Drew Tornabene. And John, what do you think next season will look like for Rutgers? Similar to Indiana, I think Rutgers will be a top 25 team to start the year. I think Rutgers will be picked in the top 4 or 5 of the Big Ten. The interesting thing is this, and this is a two-part observation. How does Rutgers handle being a team that's expected to be good and if no fans are in attendance next year, how much of a home court advantage will the rack be that was such a critical component to Steve Peichel's team last year and such a critical component to Rutgers having success? And don't, you know, be misunderstood. Rutgers would have been in the NCAA tournament last year if there was one. Five good nuggets being brought to you this week by Geico. Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years, and anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time. Now, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, DuckTales. Over the weekend, St. John's transfer, LJ Figueroa, committed to Oregon. Now, this goes back to the waiver situation. If Figueroa gets a waiver from the NCAA and can play immediately next season, he will be used at Oregon the same way Dylan Brooks was, the same way Lewis King was, as a small ball skilled four. If Figueroa plays, Oregon can get back to a Final Four, back to a place where it's going to be the favorite in the Pac-12 to start the year. Nugget number two, new beast for the Big East. Interesting stat, only 7 of the Big East top 20 scorers from last season will return to the league next year. The door is open for plenty of new faces to emerge in 2021. Nugget number three, Milwaukee's best. Marquette got some big news last week. DJ Carton, a transfer from Ohio State, received a waiver from the NCAA. He'll be eligible for the 2021 college basketball season. Marquette needed this boost with the loss of Marcus Howard. A lot of newcomers right now for Marquette, but two of Marquette's better players will be newcomers next year, Carton and freshman Dawson Garcia. Nugget number four, Ane going away. This is obviously in relation to your Ane, who left Oklahoma State last week, and he will transfer. The 6'10 big man should be eligible immediately next season because of the situation with Oklahoma State's postseason penalty. This is a name to watch on the market right now. Your Ane had moments where he was a dominant interior player, not many of those around the country. As of right now, again, Oklahoma State ineligible to play in the postseason in 2021. And then nugget number five, the waiting is the hardest part. You know, we're tracking everything right now that's going on with college football. That's obviously going to affect college basketball. The only thing for sure right now with coronavirus, with next season and in all sports, is that nothing is for sure. We're all like Stallone and Rambo 2. We're day by day. I'd like to thank Notre Dame head coach Mike Bray for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.